Good morning. It certainly is good to see everyone who has come out this morning to study another portion of God's Word. We appreciate your presence here, as I'm sure the Father and Jesus do as well. This morning, for a short time, I'd like to talk about being a good role model or a good example to others. This is something that is vital for us to do as Christians, and especially in the world today, I think it's probably more important than it's ever been for us to be good examples to each other and to others throughout the world. This is something as Christians I think that we need to concentrate on and perpetuate in our lives. Certainly we've taken a step towards doing that this morning just by being here, by showing the world that being in the assembly is more important to us than anything else that we could be doing today, regardless of the weather or the other opportunities that are afforded us. We've chosen to be in this place because we desire to go to heaven. When we think about the Day of Judgment, we know that there's going to be a line drawn, kind of like if you've ever seen the old beach movies, a bully will draw a line in the sand and dare somebody to cross it. We can say there's a line drawn in the sand, so to speak, by Jesus on the Day of Judgment. And all those that are deemed unworthy of going to heaven are going to spend eternity in torment. And those that he's decided by comparing our lives to the Scriptures that are worthy are going to have a chance of going to heaven. And certainly this is where we all want to go. It's where we desire to go and spend eternity with God. And it's important for us to understand the things that we need to do in order to get there. And one of the things, as we're going to discuss this morning, is being a good example to others and helping other people as well as ourselves go to heaven. I've often said that being a Christian is one of the most selfless and selfish things that you can do at the same time, because you choose a path that's going to lead to heaven, and that becomes the greatest desire in your life if you're going to succeed at achieving a home in heaven. But we realize to be a Christian, we have to give up the things that we desire of ourselves and do the things that God desires for us to do. And one of the ways that we're going to be able to get here is if we work together. The more we work together as a family, as a Christian community, and brothers and sisters, the more we help one another and influence one another, the better chances that we all have of achieving that goal. And it's something that's very important for us. And hopefully this morning, some of the remarks that will be made will help us to understand the influence that we have on other people, not only as those of us that are parents or adults, but also the younger adults in the congregation, as well as even the children. We're all to set forth a good example, and it's an example that's not to be displayed only on Lord's Day morning when we assemble together, but throughout the week. And we should concentrate on being a positive influence to everyone around us. Our text this morning comes from Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Here Jesus is talking about he compares the generation in which he lived, a generation that is unfortunately very much like the generation that we live in today. We look about the world today and we see the things that are going on, and granted, technology is different, communication is different than it was back in that day, but nevertheless, many of the same things that were being accepted and were happening in the world that are considered sinful and evil in the sight of God are happening in the world today. And the point that Jesus is trying to make here is that that we should stand for the truth and be the best examples that we can. And our lesson as we continue this morning is going to try to point that out in the things that we need to do in order to please God as it pertains to this subject. But before we continue this morning, we have a wonderful privilege of going to God in prayer to ask and make our petitions and wants known to Him, as well as thanking Him for the many blessings that He has bestowed upon us. So at this time, won't you humble yourselves in some manner while the one selected leads us in prayer. The Scriptures tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we realize that we have to be the best people that we can if we want to make it to heaven. We have to do the things that the Scriptures tell us to do. And one of those things that it encourages us to do, as some of the Scriptures we're going to read this morning will point out, is to be a good example. And I really don't think we can fully comprehend what that means until we become parents. And especially when our children begin to get older and start making choices and decisions on their own, sometimes they're not the things that we would think to be the best. And we begin to feel the frustration that God must feel when He looks down upon the earth and sees the way that people behave and the way that they act, because He sent His Son down here to be the perfect role model for us, and He doesn't demand that we follow the things that Jesus did. We accept that of our free will, and we choose to do it or not, but it must be very disappointing to Him, all those people who choose not to do it. And as we're going to see, even the people that choose to try to follow Jesus half-heartedly are not going to be found pleasing in the sight of God. So as we desire to please God and try to ensure for ourselves a home in heaven, it's important for us to be good examples and realize the influence that we can be on other people. And this is something that we can do simply by living the way the Scriptures tell us to live. It's not something that we have to go preach on the street corner or constantly be trying to tell people, point out what they're doing wrong and things of this nature. When we live a good life and are a good example, sometimes this is the best possible advertising, so to speak, that the church can have. When people look upon us and see the way that we're able to handle different situations, the way that we treat other people and the way that we act and talk and the things that we do, all these can be a positive influence on people. And believe me, when you go out in the world today and see the way it is, you realize that people are desperate desperately need positive role models. Too many times in the world today, people tend to look up to athletes and musicians or celebrities. And as we see in the news, many of these people's lives are as messed up as anybody can be. And the worst possible examples of what a role model can be, because it causes people to have expectations for what they want their life to be that they may never be able to pursue. They may never be the athlete that they think they are or want to be. And this causes many people to have a negative outlook on life. But as Christians, we know that we're to be good examples. We're to have good role models ourselves. And these certainly are found in the heroes of the Bible and the people that we find in the Scriptures. But we also find them as well as in our own congregations and those around us. We see people who are in the church who are doing the things that God would have them to do, and people that are acting in the way that God expects a Christian to act. And when we look to these people as our role models, especially the younger people who are young in age as well as young in the faith, we can find that these people can be a positive influence, and it cause us to continue to do the things that God would have us to do. James chapter 4, verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And here we see James is kind of saying the same thing here about this line. You're either on one side or the other. And as James writes, he accuses his readers here of being adulterers and adulteresses. This is a practice, again, this is something that we see being reflected in the world today. It's very much like it was in the days in which the New Testament was written. those who were not Jews at that point in history, most of them either had no beliefs in gods at all, or for the most part they were pagans, and depending on what part of the world they came from, they had a whole pantheon of false gods and goddesses that they believed in that governed the things that they did, and most of these things leaned towards the very things that God considers corruption and sin. And as Christians, the people that were being converted to Christianity that weren't Jews were coming from this kind of background. And it was, and we see throughout the New Testament Scriptures how Paul and the other writers are constantly trying to give these people positive reinforcement about not falling back into the things that they did before they were converted to Christianity, and not being influenced or drawn back into the world. And of course, as we look, as history repeats itself, we find that even in this country, it's one of the greatest places in the world to live, the freedoms that we have, but sometimes those freedoms can be our worst enemies. And all you have to do is pick up the newspaper or turn on the TV to see that that's exactly what's happening. The freer people are, and this has been proven throughout history from ancient times up until today, sometimes the freer people are, and the more you let them live by their free will, the worse they get. And that's the point that James is trying to make here, is that if you tie yourself too much to the world, you're going to be like the world, and that's going to make you, as he says, an enemy of God. Revelations 3, verses 14 through 16. And unto the church, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these sayings saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Here Jesus is talking about people that try to ride the rail or sit on the fence, so to speak. They're people who want to go to heaven, they want to be good, but too many times they're influenced by the things that are bad, and they waver and waffle back and forth. And we know it's very important for us not to be caught in this trap, because we never know when our life's going to be taken from us. And we don't want to be on this fence falling back towards this side if our life ends, because on the day of judgment we are most probably going to be found not worthy of going to heaven. And that's the thing, too many people I think tend to forget or put in the back of their minds, and this is especially true of younger people. It wasn't that long ago that I can remember when I felt like I was invulnerable, so to speak, or nothing could affect me. And that's the way too many young people seem to be. I think they think the rest of their life is ahead of them, and as we see all too sadly, many times that's not the case. Accidents, even diseases, can take us unexpectedly, and if we're not ready, we're going to suffer the consequences, because once our life is over, we can consider our life just like this line. As long as you're alive, you have a chance to make things right, but once you cross that line and you're dead, you're going to be judged by the way you live, regardless of what anyone else wants to do. And there are certain organizations that believe you can pray somebody out of here into here, but there's nowhere in the scriptures that tell us that that's possible. Each and every one of us, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, is responsible for our own salvation, and that doesn't mean that we can make up the way that we want to be saved. It means that we're responsible to make sure that we end up here if that's where we want to go. And we do that by studying and being in the assembly whenever it gathers, and all the things that the scriptures tell us to do. And we're responsible for that. We're responsible for picking up our Bibles and reading and making sure the things that are being taught from the pulpit are so. Because we can't go before Jesus on a day of judgment and say, well, nobody ever told me that that was wrong, or nobody ever told me I should do that. We have to know these things for ourselves, and we have to be responsible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Again, here, Paul, as he writes to the church at Thessalonica, is pointing out that as Christians, it's very important for us to be good examples. And if someone is not, we need to point that out to them, especially members of the church, and try to get it corrected. And we can find this in various places. If you remember in the First Corinthian letter, Paul pointed out a man in that particular congregation who was having a relationship with his father's wife. It wasn't his mother, it was his stepmother. But Paul wrote condemning the Corinthians for not doing something about that situation. And he even remarked that that was something that the pagans would look down upon as being something that they wouldn't even indulge in, and they were as bad as you could get as far as being contrary to the things that God would teach, and this was a situation that even they would frown on, and yet the congregation there was letting it continue and wasn't trying to correct that man for what he was doing. And so it's important for us to remember, again, that we have to be good role models even within the church, and especially within the church, that we influence everyone to be the best people that they possibly can. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now when Jesus taught what's known as the Sermon on the Mount in a few chapters in Matthew, and recorded in other places, the ideas that he was talking about were fairly radical to the Jews, because as we know, the Jews lived under the idea of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and they still feel that way today, and that's why there's constantly conflict over in the Middle East. They're certainly not the only ones that are causing it, but they're not helping the situation by the attitudes that they have about it. And as we can see here, Jesus was bringing something to the world that was new. It was certainly something that was different. It was one of the reasons why so many of the Jews rejected him, because it was so different from what they had been taught was the way that they were to act as the children of God. And sometimes these are things that are even hard for us, especially when we consider the 44th verse, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, that is so different from taking revenge on people who hurt you. It's a 360 degree difference, but this is what Jesus said God is expecting from his children from the point in which Jesus taught it until the point when he comes again. That's how he expects us to act. Of course, this is something that was probably harder for Christians to do in that day than it is for us today, because they were literally being taken out of their homes and beaten. Often they were killed or thrown into the Colosseum and fed to wild animals. And they were suffering real persecution. Sometimes people might make fun of us or kind of tease or goad us because of the fact that we think it's more important to go to church than go camping with them or fishing or some such thing as that. And some of us might look upon that as persecution, but we need to really realize what some of our Christian brothers and sisters throughout history have had to face for what they believe in, and we realize that we have it pretty easy. And sometimes I think we need to examine ourselves and really ask ourselves the question, if we had to face some of the things that those Christians had to face, could we do it? Would our faith be strong enough that we would refuse to deny Jesus and face being beaten or something for it? And as strange as it sounds, it could happen. As we said, history repeats itself. Certainly we live in a country that was founded on religious freedom, but those things can change if enough people that have evil intentions, and as we said, the freedom that we're allowed, if that freedom's allowed to go too far, we may face that someday, and I think we should be ready for that, and I think we should be honest with ourselves and examine ourselves and ask ourselves the question, could we do that? If we had to suffer a physical beating or even death for believing in Jesus, would we be able to do it? And I think that we needed to test ourselves on that and think about that, because if we don't think we can do it, then there's something that we need to correct and something that we need to continue to be strong and to grow stronger in the faith. John chapter 15, beginning of verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. This is Jesus talking to the apostles, and certainly this is something that can also be reflected on anyone who chooses to be a Christian. Again, we live in a time and a place where we may be, we're not vehemently hated or persecuted for what we believe, but we may encounter people who aren't as friendly to us or won't have anything to do with us if they know that we're Christians. And again, this is something that we have to be ready to accept and ready to face when we desire a home in heaven, because we have to realize that those kind of things aren't going to matter once we're here. When we go to heaven, as Revelations tells us, It's a place where there's no more tears, there's no more pain, there's no more death, and all of the things that affect us in this life are gone, and we live in happiness and bliss forever, and that's why we desire to go there, because it's so much better than where we're at. And we have to realize that as we've been called out of the world, we have to live in the world. Christians aren't told to go off and start a commune somewhere where they don't deal with the outside world, because God expects us to be influences on other people, and He expects us to be His ambassadors, so to speak, to a lost and dying world. So we have to understand exactly what He wants us to do here. He doesn't want us to be part of the world. He doesn't want us to be influenced by the world, but He wants us to go out into the world and try to influence others into accepting a better way, a way that may be harder on them or rougher or cause some things for some troubles for them in this life, but the reward is much greater than anything that we have to suffer. And that's what I think many people maybe even understand it, but they don't accept. For whatever reason, they can't come to a realization of how great the reward is for what God asks us to do. He asks us to give up so little, really, in compared to what we're going to receive. John chapter 17, beginning of verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Here is Jesus is praying for the apostles. He prays that God will be with them. He realizes that just as people hated him, they're going to hate his followers because they believe and teach the same things that Jesus taught. And he asks God to watch over them and protect them. And we know that as we continue to read in the Acts of the Apostles and throughout the remainder of the New Testament, that the apostles were persecuted. They were beaten. Paul, I think, was beaten with 39 or 40 stripes a couple of times. The apostles were taken into before the Sanhedrin and beaten and told not to talk about Jesus anymore. They lived in poverty. They traveled around as much as they could, spreading the word. And they did suffer, but they did it willingly and with love of God, because they knew that it was their mission to spread the word. And that's carried forth to us even unto today. And also, as Jesus pointed out in the 20th verse here, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus is praying for us there. He's praying for everyone who comes after him that accepts him and believes his word, and tries to convince others of it as well. He's praying for us because he knows the job isn't easy. It wasn't easy for him, and it's not going to be easy for us to go out and try to convince people that being a Christian is the best choice for their life and the best and only chance that they have of having a better life in the world to come is by becoming a Christian and doing the things that God would have them to do. And that's why it's important for us to realize that we have to stay separated from worldly things, but yet we have to go out into the world and to try to convince others to accept and do the things that we have. James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Here James says that we're not supposed to have respect of persons, or we're not supposed to look at some people above or better than others. We're to love all people the same. And of course, this is something too that we find causes so much trouble in the world today. Even though it's not as bad as it's been, there's still a lot of prejudice in the world. There's a lot of disrespect for people of different races or different coming from different parts of the world, and things of this nature. And these are all the kind of things that that through the teachings of Jesus should be eradicated from the world. But again, because we know so many people don't accept the things that Jesus taught, or they try to accept the parts of it that they like and ride the fence, we know that there's still a lot of anger and transgression in the world today because people won't won't respect or love other people equally. And, of course, this is something that we know as Christians, again, we're to be good examples, and we're not to act as if we think there are others who are less important than anyone else. We need to accept everyone just as they are. We need to realize that each and every person, God is no respecter of persons, so we certainly can't be either. Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Here Jesus is pointing out the fact that, and this is something, again, that many people misunderstand about God and his plan for mankind, is there's going to be, when we choose to be a Christian, there's going to be some struggles we may have to face, especially if we haven't been raised in the church. Anyone that we know of, or maybe we look at ourselves and we weren't raised in the Church of Christ, sometimes there's problems, sometimes there's not. But regardless of that, we need to always put God first. And when we do that, everything else will fall into place. And sometimes this is hard for people. This is maybe one of the most difficult things that many people have to face when they decide to become a Christian, because the decision that they make has a negative influence on their family, and it causes trouble. But what God's trying to say here, or what Jesus is trying to say here, is that heaven is more important than any blood relations that we have on earth. Doing the will of God and a loving God and doing the things that he would have us to do should be first and foremost, even over our own families. And again, this is something, like I said, many people in the world don't seem to really understand this. A lot of times you turn on the TV and you hear these guys on there who want to be preachers talking about God is love, and this is why you have more and more religious organizations that are willing to accept even homosexuality, which the New Testament vehemently condemns and calls a sin, and yet they'll want to accept it because all they want to talk about is God is love. And certainly God is love, but there's more to it than that. And part of loving God is doing what he wants you to do. And that's found in the scriptures. And if there's something in there that he tells you you're not supposed to do, you're not going to have the love of God, because you're sinning. And we know that sin is an abomination in the sight of God and something that he totally rejects. So it's important for us, again, to study and know exactly what it is that God expects of us. And again, this is one of the things that he asks us, of us, that's hard, and many times it causes people to fall away from the church and eventually leave the church, because they can't rectify that in their mind. They can't the rejection of their family because they've chosen to be a Christian is too much for them to take. And that's why, again, as Christians, we have to be good role models, and we have to show people through our actions and through the way that we live, that we have put God first, and show that when we do that, everything else, as we said, falls into place. Things become easier to handle when we realize that we're going to receive a home in heaven if we live according to the scriptures. It makes the trials and tribulations of this life easier to endure. And that's why the message of Jesus in his day was so comforting to the poor and the downtrodden and all those who seemed the most willing to accept the things that Jesus taught, because the heaven that he talked about was better than anything they could ever hope to obtain in this life. And that's the way that we need to look at it as well. Of course, we live a lot better than people in that day did, a lot more comfortable. But yet, no matter how nice a home we have or how comfortable our belongings make us feel, this is much more important than anything that we can obtain in this life. Mark 3, beginning verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Here again, emphasizing the idea that we have to put God first, even if it means putting God before our family. And that's the point that Jesus was trying to make here, that those of his followers and those that were here listening to him, those were the ones that he considered his family. And as Christians, we need to be the same way today. We need to consider our brothers and sisters exactly that. That's why that term is used, brother or sister, because that's the relationship that we should feel with those people. And realize that this is the thing that God expects, and as God's children, we are brothers and sisters, and that bond becomes as strong, if not stronger, than a bond that we would have with our physical brother or sister. And it's important for us to understand that what God expects us to do in that regard. It certainly doesn't make it any easier, but we certainly realize, again, the reward far outweighs whatever we may endure in this life, because if we're faithful to the end and do the things that God would have us to do, that pain is going to be lifted from us and we will know it no more. I'd like now to read the 27th Psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, but put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me the way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over under the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Here we find in this psalm reinforcement of the ideas that we were talking about. Even if our families forsake us, we know that God will be with us if we do the things that he asks us to do. If we desire to become his child, we can endure the wrath of our enemies, so to speak, and we can endure separation from our families. We can endure all things if we throw ourselves into being Christians and doing the things that God would have us to do. And that's what makes us the good example that we need to be to others. And we might even be able to influence those who are against us for becoming Christians, if we can, if we accept it, and we do it in a way that we're like Jesus, and we do the best that we can, and live as sin-free as we possibly can. We might even be able to influence the people that were against us becoming Christians to become Christians themselves, because if we're living according to the Scriptures, we're doing the things that are not only considered right in the sight of God, but in society in general. These are things that are of a good moral character, and there are people, we may never convince them to do the same thing, but there are people who appreciate that and look highly upon that. And again, this is what makes us good role models and examples, and that's what we're to be. That's why when Jesus said that we're to be the light of the world, that's what it's all about. A light attracts especially in that day when there was no electricity. If you were out in the middle of the night and it was a cloudy night, it was dark. And I mean darker than most of us probably have ever seen. And if you saw a light of any kind, you would be attracted to it because it meant there might be somebody there. If it was cold, certainly it would mean warmth because the only light they had then was by fire. It would be warmth and possibly food, and it would be something that would attract you, and that's the way we're to be, because if we use that analogy and look at the world and the sin that's in the world, if the world is dark, and if we're light, hopefully people will be attracted to us, and they can learn from our example and desire to be Christians as well. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we realize that the person that's being spoken about here is Jesus. If we do the things that he would have us to do, he's going to be our friend right until the end, until we face him on the day of judgment. And we need to realize that and accept that and to realize and to do the things that that are pleasing in God's sight so that we can be considered in that relationship. And that's being the best that we possibly can. As we said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're going to make mistakes. God realizes that. He also expects us to correct those mistakes and not to make the same mistakes again. And he expects us to grow stronger so that we can be stronger lights and stronger examples to others. And if we stick to the plan that God has for us, we realize that it's a perpetual thing. You're never going to reach a level where you don't have to learn any more about the Scriptures or you don't have to be any better a person than you are. Just life and the things that we have to endure in life are going to ensure that our growth as a Christian will be perpetual if we perpetuate it. We have to work for it. It's not something that we automatically have. It's something that's going to cause us to work. And as we said, sometimes we're going to stumble and fall. And when we work to correct those things, it makes us better. And it makes us better examples. And it helps everyone to grow in the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 12. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came upon me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. As Paul writes to Timothy here, when we study the Scriptures and realize the relationship that must have been there, Timothy was a young man whom Paul had converted to Christianity. He's one that Paul obviously thought very highly of and one that he was trying to bring along as an evangelist, and one that, as Paul knew, his time was growing short upon the earth. He knew that he had to leave people after him who would perpetuate the cause of the church and continue to build it. And this is one of the men that he looked upon to do that. And in his letter to Timothy, he's reminding him of the things that he suffered, no doubt preparing Timothy to the reality that he may have to suffer some of the same things as well, but that the most important thing was that the Word of God continued to be perpetuated, that Jesus' kingdom here upon the earth continued to grow, and it will only grow when men such as these and men such as the ones that we have working in the church today will continue to be good examples to others, will continue to perpetuate the things that Jesus wants us to do and continue to preach against the things that are contrary to the Word of God and the Bible tells us are sin. And if we continue to do that, the church is going to continue to grow not only in strength but in number, and we'll all be patiently waiting for the day when Jesus comes again. We look in the world today and realize it very well could happen in our lifetime, but people have been saying that almost since the time in which Jesus ascended into heaven. We realize, studying the Scriptures, that there were many in that day that fully expected Jesus to come back within their lifetimes, and it's been almost 2,000 years now, and yet we still expect him to come because we know that he's going to come as a thief in the night. It's going to be at a time when no one expects it, in a time in which we certainly don't want to be caught unaware. As we said before, we don't want to be riding the fence when he comes again because we could be fall on the wrong side of judgment, the side of judgment we don't want to be on. that's going to lead to everlasting punishment for the things that we've done while here upon the earth. And we certainly don't want to have to face that. So as Christians, I think it's very important for us to remind ourselves of these things. And it's very important for us, I think, to examine ourselves and to really be honest with ourselves and try to face how light our light is shining, and to realize that that we have an influence over people. People are going to look upon us as Jesus expects out of his followers, and we certainly need to shine forth that example, and we need to continue to grow, and that's the only way that light is going to get any brighter. That brings us to the conclusion of this lesson. As always, when we study the Word of God, we offer the services of the church. Won't you, if there are those who need them, won't you come while we stand and sing?